Last time we showed the existence of the so-called FDD decomposition. With some requirement of uniqueness for the matrix sigma. A list of useful, more or less useful, remarks. First of all, now and in the following, it may be important to detect the presence of zero values on the diagonal of sigma. Maybe I didn't tell you the name of these objects. In the decomposition, the values sigma sub I of sigma, or capital sigma, are called singular values. And the columns of U and V of the two matrices are colored left and right singular vectors. So in the matrix sigma, we know that the singular values are ordered in non-increasing order, are arranged this way, and from some index on, there may appear zero singular values, say sigma sub k, the last non-zero singular value. So the successive singular values are all zero. If we know that all these last singular values are zero, we may omit in the composition the last columns of U and the last rows of V to the H, in the sense that if you call this some matrix of sigma sub k, the non-zero part of sigma, only the first k columns of U play a role, and for the same reason, only the first k row of V to the H. Because the entries in this position will be multiplied by the zeros which are in the left positions of the matrix, diagonal positions of the matrix sigma. So we, in this sense, often we will write in a simpler way A as the product of U sub k, sigma sub k, and V h sub k, where this part of U is UK, and so on. This part of V is V sub k, and it is the transposed conjugate. This formula may be rewritten also in another way. in the relevant row, again, the columns of you and me in this way. We may write this as sum. This is the, not sigma, the symbol of the sum for me from 1 to 3. U sub I is the corresponding column of U. Sigma sub I is the corresponding singular value. And the last, V sub I, the H. The same thing for each I, the matrix. U sub I, number sigma sub I, row vector, V sub I to H is a rank 1 n by n matrix. So this is a sum of K matrices of rank 1. So the composition can be seen also in this way. This way of representing the SVD decomposition suggests also the possibility, which will be coherent in the following, that we approximate the matrix A, dropping off those of these matrices corresponding to the smallest values of the singular values. Here you have all matrices of rank 1 and the order of magnitude of these matrices is related to the corresponding singular value. You have here, if you give a look this problem, you see that this is a column of a unitary matrix, so the number here are in modulus less than 1. So the numbers here, because also V is a row of A to the H, V sub I to the H is a row of a unitary matrices. The entries of a unitary matrix cannot be larger in modulus than 1. So the magnitude is given by this number. So we could think to omit, to drop off the terms of this representation corresponding to the smallest values of singular values. We could retain only a few of these terms, and this is the important kind of application of this decomposition, which is called, let me say again this, we will see this better in the second part of today's lesson. From this point of view, we could consider a truncated SVD decomposition. The matrix A is approximated by only a part of this sum for the indices going from 1 to some k bar. Okay. The rank of the truncated SVD representation is exactly k bar rank. So effectively, this is an approximation of rank k matrix with another matrix with smaller rank. The next theorem it appears as a theorem is a list of other properties of this decomposition. Some of these properties are very simple, very obvious. I list them here. The first property is just the possibility of writing the composition in this way. At the first point, we find indeed that A can be seen as the sum of this rank one matrix. We have already explained why. Okay. Second point, B. The kernel of A, N stands for null space. Remember, the subspace of the most common name is kernel. The subspace of vectors which are brought to zero by the product on the left by A is spanned by some counts of V. Here is N. Okay. The last counts of V. Moreover, S of A, the image of A, is spanned by the first columns of U. Just to remember well this. On sigma you have the non-zero k sigma values. The first k columns of U, which form U sub k, the last, not the first, the last columns of V, that is the last rows of V, each position, these vectors span S of A. These vectors, CS count vectors, span N of A. So this decomposition gives some non-trivial information about the geometric properties related to the metric A. Moreover, fourth point, D, the property stated in point D, the squares of the singular values are the eigenvalues, in the proper sense of the term, of of the matrix A to the H by A. For E, which starts from 1 and reaches n. This is n by n matrix. And last property stated here is if the matrix A is square, if m is equal to n, and A is normal, then the singular values are the moduli of the eigenvalues of A. So this two last properties clear a relation that effectively exists between the singular values of A and the eigenvalues of this matrix or of A itself. All these properties are quite simple to prove. Start from the second, the first we have already seen. The second is that the kernel of A is spanned by the last columns of B. what a vector in N of A must do? A vector in N of A in the null space is such that A by X is zero, but A by X is U sigma VH is equal to the zero vector. You maybe cancel it. Why? Because it's a unitary matrix, so it is sufficient to think to multiply both the sides by its inverse. So we have sigma H is equal to zero. Let us consider only the non-zero part of sigma. So this is the same thing as we already remarked before. Sigma sub k, the non-zero part of sigma, V sub k, the first, not the last, the first columns of V, the H, so let me write here V
this, okay? Sigma, this is here, k. V sub k, h, and x, which is long, correctly, is long n, equal to 0. Also, this is non-singular. Sigma was rectangular, but this matrix, sigma sub k, which is this part, is square and invertible because it's made by non-zero numbers. So we may cancel. We can cancel also sigma by inverting, and we find this. What does it mean? Here is an orthogonality relation, between x and the first k columns of V. You say this here. You have a column, one of the first column of V put by row multiplied by the vector x. Your result is 0. But all the columns of V form an orthonormal basis of R to the n. All the columns of V form a basis of R of vector C to the n. And if x is orthogonal to the first k, it must be in the space spanned by the last, the leading columns of V, which are just these columns. Analogously, we can easily see that we start from one of these columns, we obtain a vector of the null space. So we have shown that the null space is exactly the subspace spanned by these vectors. Also, it is simpler to prove the third point. It is sufficient to consider a vector. Now we consider a vector, call it y, of an image of A. Y, so must be the result of the product of this type for some x. That's VD. We have U sigma V H X.
dropping off the zero singular values.
So we have k, k, k.
This is some vector x multiplied by this matrix.
This is h.
X multiplied by this matrix and by this matrix. We call it z. So a generic vector of the image of A can be seen as a linear combination of the columns of UK, which are exactly these vectors, these columns. This is a linear combination. Metrics. So also this is quite simple to see. An immediate consequence of this property is that the dimension of the image is the number of linearly independent vectors which are here, but all the columns of U are linearly independent vectors because U is unitary. So the dimension of S of A is exactly K, but the dimension of S of A is also the rank, the geometric rank of A. So we here can see in a rigorous way that the number this is type of successive statement, the number of non-zero singular values is the number is k is the rank of the matrix. I remark this because the most stable way to compute the rank of the matrix is the SVD. If someone asks you how can you compute the rank of matrix, the first answer, I guess, will be by using the Gauss method. If I apply the Gauss method to a matrix, I triangularize the matrix and I see easily the rank of the matrix because it corresponds to the number of non-zero rows of the triangularized matrix. Start from A with Gauss, or also with the Hausdorff method, which is more stable than Gauss. You have a situation of this kind. Here is zero. The number of zero rows gives you R, or say better K, as we have called it, the rank of the matrix. Gauss may be unstable. One could say, well, I use
unitary transformation and I decide to triangularize the matrix with the householder matrix. This process is stable, but this is somewhat strange. Also, if the final matrix is triangular, it can be seen that light perturbation of triangular matrix can change the rank. So also by using unitary transformation, the unitary transformation of the Schröder method, the final answer may be not so clear. For these reasons, I write this here, the best way to compute the rank of a matrix is to count the number of non-zero singular values. A question that is already open is how, by using which method, I will compute the SVD decomposition. This is, must be seen as a problem, as we will see today in the following. Let us conclude the leaving two properties. Points D and E are particular cases. D is not a particular case. It says that the singular values, the squares of the singular values, are the eigenvalues of A to H by A. The square. Why? Because if we write this formula, define this matrix will be you invert the order of the factors, FD, sigma to the H, U to the H, U sigma to the H. The identity matrix. Here you have, let us put here, as usual, a scheme which shows better us how this matrix is made. This is the matrix, and by N formed diagonal, formed by on the diagonal the squares of the singular values, V sigma to the H by sigma by V to the H. And here you have the, this is square matrix, you find here, you read here the spectral decomposition, spectral decomposition. It is the canonical form, the diagonal canonical form of this Hermitian matrix. This is Hermitian. And if we have the spectral decomposition, we know that the column of V are the eigenvectors of this matrix, but the most important thing is what we want to see. These numbers are the eigenvalues eigenvalues of this square matrix into the singular values. In general, are not the eigenvalues of the matrix. Matrix in general is not square, so the eigenvalues are not defined. But in any case, are the eigenvalues, they are squares, are the elements of another matrix, which is square. This is the last point. Now, the matrix A is square, and normal we have several months ago seen the definition of normal matrices, but more important than the definition is the characterizing property that the normal matrices enjoy. That is, normal matrix is a matrix which is diagonalized by a unitary transformation. Say normal is the same thing that saying the same thing that they're saying that I search for the letter for the notation. A U unitary matrix exists which diagonalizes A. So A U to the H by A by U is the the number are complex. Also D can be a complex matrix in this case. The normal matrices are defined over the complex numbers. Well, we want to recognize a relation between the singular values of A and the eigenvalues of A, which are the Riemann varieties of B. In which way we can see this? If you consider if you consider if you write A from this as U, V, can I say that this is the SVD decomposition? U is unitary. This matrix is always U, which is unitary. What do I need that is not necessarily verified in this case? The matrix in the middle, sigma, must be real. In general, also if A is normal, B is not real. It's a complex matrix. But I can write the diagonal matrix D as the diagonal matrix of its moduli of the diagonal entries multiplied by I have to consider only I write
the non-zero part of D, so the first K as usual counts of U, here and here. Then I can write D as its modulus multiplied by the inverse of its modulus. Here is invertible because I have cut off the zero eigenvalues of matrix by D. So I can write this as UK D, and this matrix, call it also here is D, D sub K, sorry. I call this matrix E and U K. Now you enlarge the matrix back again to their original sizes. U. Yeah, we are all square matrices. You put here some zeros. Also, the matrix E, you enlarge it, putting an identity matrix in the last position, and again here due to the H. Remark that the matrix I have called E is diagonal, and unitary. If you divide some numbers by their moduli, you obtain complex numbers of modulus 1. So this is the sigma of the SVD decomposition. This is the matrix U. The last matrix is V to the H. We have found an SVD decomposition. I used it in the determinant article, and I have forgotten to mark this. Let us say two words for the non-uniqueness of the SVD decomposition. In the SVD decomposition, the sigma, matrix sigma, is unique. Why? The other two matrices, this is in general, are not unique, as you can see easily. In this way, if you start from an SVD decomposition, we know that it exists. We have shown this. You write general. You can put here and also here two matrices the first square call it D. This is the old sigma. Okay, here D, here Z. Who are D and Z? D is a phase matrix that is diagonal with entries of modulus 1 over the complex numbers. Z is a small matrix
unitary, generic, arbitrary, unitary, unitary.
This is all sigma. In order to make the equation true,
here is V, V.
We must put here another matrix which compensates the introduction of this matrix, but it is sufficient to write here the inverse of D, or that is the same thing, D to H.
Yeah, 0, 0. Yeah, 0. Yeah.
If you perform the product of the three factors in the middle gives again sigma. Mm. So the equation, the equality, it's safe, it's sure, it's correct. But we can also see this fact as you have one, the same sigma, which is unique,
V sub 1 is H, where U sub 1 is this, and V sub 1 to H is this other matrices.
These two matrices are again unitary, so we have found another SVD decomposition. So the SVD decompositions of a matrix are infinite in number. In the sense that we may choose in infinitely many ways the left and the right singular vectors. Let us stop for a few minutes as usual. We'll continue with the last properties. There are many properties of this decomposition. The last properties and some hint regarding a possible way, a possible scheme of computation of the SVD, and finally, the most important aspect for us in this context, in this frame, the use of this decomposition in the least square problem.
Aiuto, preso o no?